Welcome, Zao Church. How are we doing this morning? Good to see you guys. Good to see y'all. Welcome to Zao. Glad you're here with us today. Man, it's been a great week. We had tons of donations come in for the flood relief. Continue to bring those in. Pretty awesome that we get to do that and be a part of that. And we were able to make a big donation, a financial donation because of you and your generosity and Altrua matching that. So thank you so much. So it's just a pretty awesome thing. Continue to give, continue to bring resources in. And as always, if you do want to serve, we have an opportunity for you to go over there and do that. We sent out teams this week. It's pretty cool sending people out from Zao. So thank you all for that. Big week this week ahead of us. This week, Zao High goes to summer camp. And so we're going to have a great time this week. We have 32 students going with us, about 10 volunteers, leaders, adults, and we're going to have a great time in Birmingham, Alabama. So if you would be praying for us and the team as we take the students this week and have an incredible week at camp. This is the largest youth conference in the entire nation, and it's going to be a life-changing, impactful week. So hopefully you got your students signed up, but it's the biggest group we've taken, and very excited about it. So if you would join me as we just pray for those students. I know we have some in here today, some probably watching online. Let me pray for you guys before we go to camp. Lord, we thank you for every student who is represented here today, who will be going to camp. Father, I'm just excited, Lord, that you are going to do something amazing in their hearts and in their lives this week. God, we pray for a move of God, a fire to ignite within them, that they would come back on fire for you, ready to reach their school for you, Father. We just pray that you can do, that you would do something that only you could do, something amazing, something impactful in the lives of these students. God, bless them as they go. Bless these leaders and the transportation, Father. God, we love you. We give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all got to pray for them leaders, man. That's like a whole week of no deodorant, you know, fighting with middle school boys to shower. It's like, it's a thing, okay? So camp boyfriend, girlfriends. I don't know a better word to say for that. Like, you know, it's fun. It's fun. Fun times. Be praying for us this week. Okay, man, Life Track is today. Hopefully, if you have not gone through Life Track, if you want to become a member, know more about Zao, stay after this service. We'd love to have you. We'll feed you, and we will have childcare provided as well. So, love to have you at Life Track. All right, well, let's jump in. Y'all excited to be here. I feel it. I feel it today. I love it. 11 a.m. Y'all didn't go to the rodeo last night because you guys are awake. All right, here we go. We are in a series called Disciple. It's a four-week series. Today is week three. And over the course of the series, I want to take an in-depth look at what it means to truly be a disciple of Jesus. And here's what a disciple means. A disciple is right here. It's a person who follows Jesus, is being transformed by Jesus, and who is committed to the mission of Jesus. So that's what a disciple is. It's someone, and here's my words for it right here. A disciple is someone who is with Jesus, who is becoming like Jesus, and who is committed to doing what Jesus did. So the way I say it is with Jesus, like Jesus, and for Jesus. And that's what we talked about last week was with Jesus, and today is going to be like Jesus. But at Zao, here's something we're trying to discover, something we're talking about. Is are we creating fully devoted followers of Jesus? Are we committed to raising up disciples of Jesus? And so what does it mean to be a disciple? It means that you don't do the same stuff you used to do. Like the things that you used to do before you started to follow Jesus, you no longer do those things. It means you're growing and you're progressing in your faith. It means you don't say the same things that you used to say. You don't do the same things you used to do. You don't behave the same way you used to behave. You are different. You have become somebody new. You're committed to this journey of faith, and you're following in the way of Jesus. And my hope is that you have seen that take place in your life. My hope is that your time here at Zao, you have grown in your faith. And my dream is that this community would be transformed because of the believers of Zao Church. That Zao Church would really do, the believers of Zao would really do what this Bible says to do. And in so doing, would change and transform a community. I want people to look at our church and say, man, those people really do follow Jesus. They're disciples of Jesus. So I want to give you the theme verse for this series. It's Mark 8, 34, it says this: whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. It's a verse. It's a strong verse. It may be a verse that you don't really understand, or you may not even want to do. But in order to be a disciple of Jesus, you need to learn how to follow Jesus. So in week one, we talked about the first followers of Jesus, how they were known as the Way. And if you were a disciple of Jesus, you were known as a follower of the Way. And we looked at, during that day, what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus. And we learned that Jesus called people into discipleship by simply asking people, follow me. He would go around and he would find his people and he would just invite them, hey, follow me. And Jesus called people, no matter of where you come from or how much you know, he called people into discipleship by simply saying, follow me. And I believe Jesus is calling you and I into discipleship today as well. Follow him. To be a follower of Jesus is one who commits their life to following the way. A disciple is one who emulates their teacher. If we want to be a follower of Jesus, we will do what Jesus instructs. It's his teachings, his yoke. A true disciple lives by the word of God. We cannot be a disciple of Jesus if we do not do what this book says to do. Y'all going to have to wake up on me. Here we go. Last week, we took the first step in becoming a disciple of Jesus, which is to be with Jesus. We just saw that definition. If you want to be a true disciple of Jesus, the first thing that you need to do is understand what it means to be with Jesus. We looked at this concept of abiding in Jesus and what that truly means to abide in Jesus. And we looked at this concept of being of this tree where a tree branch abides in the actual root of the tree. And the fruit of the branch is the leaves. And we looked at this power source in this lamp that's plugged into the power source. As it's connected and abiding into the power source, the fruit that is established is light. You see, when we are not connected, the fruit of our lives is the fruit of the flesh. But when we are connected, the fruit of our lives is the fruit of the Spirit. So we looked at the concept of abiding and aligning with the Holy Spirit. And this week, as we continue on our definition, who is becoming like Jesus and who is committed to doing what Jesus did, today I want to talk about what it looks like to become like Jesus. That sounds impossible. It sounds very hard to do. Hey, I want you to be like Jesus. How many of y'all are signing up to do that? Like, oh, I got that. That's easy. I can do that, you know? That sounds like something pretty difficult to attain. But we're going to talk about it today because I believe it is an important step in becoming a disciple. Let me give you this verse. Jesus was telling a short parable on this story, Luke 6, 39 through 40. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Be like their teacher. If you're taking message notes, the title of this morning's message is Like Jesus. We're going to talk today about being like Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this word. Pray that you would speak to our hearts. Would you teach us what it means to be like Jesus? We want to be like you. We want to do what you said to do in the scriptures. Lord, enable us to do that today. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Have you ever wanted to be like somebody? Like maybe when you were growing up, you had a superhero, you had a superstar, you had somebody, maybe it's a parent, you wanted to be like. Come on, 11 a.m. Did you guys? Thank you. Thank you. Let's go. All right. So we wanted to be like somebody, okay? In 1992, there was a commercial that aired. See if you can recognize this right here.
Sometimes I dream that he is me. Got to see that's how I dream to be.
Be like Mike.
Yeah, I try. Just need to fly.
Just one day if
How many of y'all remember that one? Anybody at all? I'm just thirsty. Anybody at all remember that commercial, 1992? I want to be like Mike, man. I want to be like Mike, right? You see his yacht lately? Like, this incredible, this guy was amazing, you know? I want to be like Mike. Kids growing up in the 80s and 90s wanted to be like Mike. So according to this commercial, all you got to do to be like Mike, buy you some Gatorade. You're going to be huge, big star, superstar. Just drink some Gatorade, right? I mean, as a kid growing up, I wanted to be like MJ. Who didn't? You know, we all wanted to be like Jordan. But in order to be like Jordan, you needed to change some things in your life, right? Fat little middle school kid like me was not going to be like Jordan, continuing to eat the same things I was eating and perform the same way I was performing, right? Like, you got to change some things if you want to be like Mike. Maybe the first thing was to start drinking some Gatorade, all right? In the same way, if we want to be like Jesus, which is the point of this series, to be his disciple, to be like him, there are some things that we need to change. What needs to change in your life in order to be like Jesus? What is the Gatorade for you? Well, the Bible calls this, it's a big Christian word, it's called transformation. Transformation. And for every new believer in Jesus, there must be this point in life where you enter into a process of transformation. The Bible says that we are transforming into the image and into the likeness of Jesus. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, you need to transform. You need to be like Jesus. Again, I know that sounds lofty and unattainable, and nobody can accomplish that. However, the Bible instructs us to aim for that. But here's the good news. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being," here it is, "transformed into his image with ever increasing glory." But watch this. Where does it come from? It comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This transformation process, I know it sounds unattainable, but it is if it's all on you. But it's not. It comes from God. So you're in good hands. You're going to be okay. But I love the word transformed in this passage. This is our goal. To be like Jesus, we need to be transformed. This word transformed in the Greek is metamorpho. And what it means is metamorphosis. I'm sure you've heard of that word before. Here's Webster's definition. Is a profound change in form from one stage to the next. That's transformation. That's metamorphosis. It's a profound change from one stage to the next. So the question for us today is this. Is that kind of change possible for you and me? If so, how do we get that? How do we do that? Do you even want that for your life, to be transformed? Like walking in this profound change, where you are not where you used to be. Like maybe you're unhappy with life. You feel stuck. You just feel like, man, I can't progress. I'm stuck. You need a metamorphosis. You need a transformation. I know for me, I found myself at a place in life where I was kind of unhappy with some things in my life, and I knew things needed to change. I saw the teachings of Jesus. I wanted to be like Jesus. I just didn't know how to change. You may be here and you say, man, I love this. I'm the teaching. I want this for my life. I want this for my family. I want to be more like Jesus. I just don't know how to change. Truthfully, I don't even know where to start. Well, this is a part of becoming a disciple of Jesus. I'm sure the first disciples, as they were fishing or collecting taxes, they had no idea what it meant and how to follow this rabbi named Jesus when he called them into following him. But Jesus called to them and he walked with them anyways. I want to walk with you today. I want to take you on a journey today, this morning, to try to help you to discover the key and how to change. That's what we're after, transformation. How do we change so that we will become more like Jesus? That's where we're going to go today. So let me set some framework for you. The key to this is something called spiritual formation, spiritual formation. The reality this morning is that you are currently being formed into something. Whether you realize it or not, you are being formed into something. The question is not if you are being transformed, but rather, what are you being formed into? Because you are being formed. Without even knowing it, you and I are and have been unintentionally formed spiritually over the course of our life. You see, we're all a product of our past. And because of your past, you have been formed spiritually. The problem for most people is that they have been unintentionally formed spiritually, opposed to being intentionally formed spiritually. Like how you were raised is the single most important factor as to why you do what you do, why you say what you say, why you think what you think, and why you believe what you believe. How you were raised is so important. So unintentionally, we have been and we are being transformed. So I want to show you four ways that over the course of your life, you have been transformed. You have been formulated. You have been formed, spiritually formed. Four ways right here, unintentionally. First thing is through stories. You live by a story, even if you don't realize it. And then that story that we live by, it begins to shape our identity and who we are. You know, the stories we hear and the stories we believe, they give meaning to our life, to our pain. They give us purpose for our actions. They give us a vision for our future. Every commercial is selling you a story. You can be like Mike, just drink some Gatorade. Every politician is selling you a story. Every algorithm that you see on your phone is selling you something. And every one of them is forming you. We all grew up hearing of stories. We all grew up being told stories. You know, when you were young, you believed that which you were being told. You couldn't argue it. You didn't have the framework yet. And so because of that, you believed in something. We all were raised to believe in something. Even if it is nothing at all, you still believe in that. If you grew up as an atheist, you were raised to believe in nothing at all. That is still believing in something. How you were raised, the stories you were told, became the belief structure and became your foundation. Then as you got a little bit older, you learned, you heard more stories, and it broadened your belief system. And you're here now. What you believe in now, you've heard it before, you've read it before. This is why you say the things that you do, because you've heard it said by someone else before. This is why you vote the way you do, because you heard a story and it triggered you. This is why you raise your kids the way you do, because you heard it or you saw it firsthand, and you either said, I really like that, I'm gonna mimic that in my kids, or I want nothing to do with that, I'm gonna raise my kids completely different than the way I was raised. For example, my kids are Green Bay Packer fans, okay? Don't boo me, I love my Packer fan. I mean, like, I don't know, during the break, everyone was hating on me, like, relax, okay? I had kids coming up and talking trash to me between services. Literally, little kids talking trash to me. Okay, I was born and raised in Dallas. Should have been a Cowboys fan. Yes, exactly, that's why. Well, why are my kids Green Bay Packer fans? Because I grew up with a mom who was a Packer fan, who was born and raised in Green Bay, Wisconsin, who told me stories about the Packers. I grew up with grandparents, her parents, who were born and raised in Green Bay, Wisconsin. The only way to own the Packers are the only franchise owned by the fans. The only way to own the team is through stock and season tickets. We had both. We had 12 season tickets in our family. My grandparents were at the first and second Super Bowl firsthand, saw it right there when the Packers won. My parents hung out with the Green Bay Packers. They had dinner with the Green Bay Packers. They were in that crew. That was their friends. So I grew up hearing stories of Green Bay Packers. My mom was a fan of the Green Bay Packers. I am a fan of the Green Bay Packers. And my kids, even though they've never been to Green Bay, Wisconsin, are fans of the Green Bay Packers. The stories we hear, they shape us. Without even us knowing it, they're forming us. So we have stories that unintentionally shape us. Here's a second thing that happens to us unintentionally is the habits we have. You know, habits are spiritual. They're not just things that we do and we can't stop doing. They're actually things that do something to us. We talked about this last week, but it takes 90 days to break a habit, and it takes 66 days to start a new one. We all have habits. What's yours? Let's just go around the room. What's your worst habit? I just want to know. Now, because you won't tell me and say it out loud, I wrote a few down. Let me see if I have a few. I had fun making this list. Just let me have this. Okay, maybe your habit is, not mine, maybe yours. Maybe your habit is stopping at the gas station on the way home from work and getting a tall boy and a bag of Doritos. I don't know, it sounded funny. Okay, maybe your habit is waking up and going on a walk or going to the gym or going to CrossFit. Maybe your habit is waking up and making yourself a cup of coffee and reading your Bible or... Yeah, okay, yes. We don't have CrossFitters, but we have followers of Jesus. All right. Maybe your habit is doom scrolling on your phone, on social media, hours before you go to bed, right? Maybe your habit is Zen. Oh, that one hurt. Or Copenhagen. Maybe your habit is date nights on Friday nights. Maybe your habit is pouring yourself a big glass of wine when you get home from work. Wow. That should not get the same response as reading your Bible, okay? Yeah, that's... Okay, this is the last one, but this might convict you, and if it does, I'm going to pray for you. Maybe your habit is driving 40 miles an hour on the left lane of Highway 71. Repent in the name of Jesus. Get out of there. All right. I feel like this is 9 a.m. I'm being like real. I always want to do a video. I'm going to do it one day. I'm going to make a video of like someone getting in front of me on 71, and I'm going to go around them, and they're going to flip me off. It's Pastor Jared here. You never know who's passing you. All right, here we go. People who do that, I'm like, do they go to my church? Do I know you? All right, these habits, they hold a deep presence in our life. You see, you're not just drinking coffee, you're reinforcing presence, solitude. Maybe you're calming some anxiety or stress in your life. When you're doom scrolling, you're not just scrolling, you're shaping your attention, you're shaping your desires, you're shaping your focus. Dallas Willard said it this way, we are unceasing worshipers. And habits show us what we truly worship. Do you worship your comfort? Do you worship your control? Do you worship your health? Do you worship your finances? Do you worship your productivity, your business, your peace? Do you worship God? Spiritual formation doesn't happen in a one-time church service. I can't promise you you're going to leave today formed spiritually. It happens daily, invisibly, over time, through the rhythms of life, through your habits. So ask yourself, are your habits unintentionally forming you, or are they intentionally forming you to be like Jesus? What if spiritual formation is less about trying harder and more about training wisely? What if it's not just about, oh man, you gotta stop doing that, you gotta start doing that, you gotta try harder, you gotta do better? What if it's more about training wisely? 1 Timothy 4:7. I love this. It's very simple. The Bible's simple. Train yourself to be godly. That's intentional. That's a good habit. That's habit forming. We create habits for ourselves, and those habits form us. You hear that? We create habits for ourselves, And those habits form us. The problem is, most of us are unintentionally creating habits for our lives that are not beneficial. They are unintentional, but they're forming you spiritually. So we have stories, we have habits. Here's the next one we have is relationships that are forming us unintentionally, spiritually. You and I will become like the people we hang out with. Not just in behavior, but in values, in speech, and even beliefs. There's a reason that you hang out with the people that you hang out with. And there's a reason that you don't hang out with the people that you don't hang out with. You know that neighbor who always wants to hang out? There's a reason you don't hang out with that person. There's a reason you go to the same restaurants, the same coffee shops, because there is relationship there. You see, we find fulfillment and joy in relationships. Relationships are a driving force in your life. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. But a companion of fools suffers harm. Formation happens through proximity. Who is in your proximity? Whether you realize it or not, your friends are discipling you. The people closest to you are shaping your worldview, your faith, your reactions, your priorities, who you are as a person. This is why Jesus was so intentional about the people he spent time with. He had his inner circle. He had his three. And then he had his 12. And then he had his way, the followers. He both influenced and was present with some. And then at times, the Bible says that he withdrew because he needed to recalibrate with God and to pray. You see, spiritual formation isn't just about reading scriptures or attending church. It's also about our relational environment. Who we let into our inner circle. Those who we let in, man, they form us more than we'd like to admit. So just take a minute, think about your friend group for a moment. Because your friend group is doing one or two things. They're either leading you to Jesus or they're leading you away from Jesus. There is no in between. Our relationships are crucial to who we are. But when you boil it down, there's been one relationship that's been the most formative in your life, and that is with your parents. Let's talk about mom and dad for a moment. You are who you are today because of the parents that raised you. Good or bad, they made you into who you are today. You do what you do, you say what you say, you believe what you believe because of how you were raised and the impact your parents had on your life. Maybe you loved it and you're running with their values, you're running with what they have instilled into you. Or maybe you're trying to do the very opposite of what they did to you. Either way, your relationship to your parents is crucial. If you want to be intentionally, spiritually formed, start evaluating the relationships in your life. Who do you follow? Who do you listen to? Who do you allow to speak into your life? Because that's who you're becoming like. And here's the fourth and final way about being spiritually formed unintentionally. We have our stories, our habits, relationships, but they all take place in an environment. The stories, the habits, the relationships, that's our environment. Your environment is the invisible hand that is shaping you. It's not neutral. It's forming your desires, your pace of life, your value system. Have you noticed that Lake Travis has a special feel to it? Like Lake Travis has a vibe? You've not been to Lake Travis High School then, but it's like a cult thing. It's like A&M, these Aggie followers, you know? Like, you see, you're not just living in Lake Travis. Lake Travis is living in you. It's your environment. It's where you live. The culture around us, get this, becomes the current we swim in. Often without realizing it, we're being pulled in. It's a current. Drive to North Austin. Feels a lot different. Drive to East Austin. Change your clothes. Feels a lot different, right? They will point and laugh at you in East Austin. Most people here in Lake Travis are similar. They kind of think the same way, believe the same way, dress the same way, drive the same way, make comparable incomes. There's a reason you did not move to North Austin. There's a reason we planted a church in West Austin. Do you remember what it was like when you moved here? Like you found yourself thinking, man, I didn't used to care about these things, but I don't know what's happening to me. Now I care about these things. That's formation. That's your environment influencing your life. Romans 12:2, Paul says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. What I love about this passage is that it assumes that the world that we live in has a pattern, and that pattern is forming you unless you resist it, you push back. Your environment disciples you through repetition. What you see, what you hear, what you interact with on a daily basis, repetition, it's forming your soul. Think about this. What kind of person is your environment trying to turn you into? Someone who is busy? Someone who is image conscious? Someone who is independent? Someone who is comfortable? Someone who's distracted? If you want to be intentionally formed spiritually, you'll need to interrupt the automatic rhythms of your environment. You got to stop it. That might mean changing your inputs, creating spiritual space, or surrounding yourself with some different people. All four of these things, they make you who you are. And over time, those four things are forming you spiritually. Think about your life, the way that you were raised, the job you take, the neighborhood you live in, the promotion you get, the divorce you are going through, the tragedy you face, the church you attend. Over time, these life experiences will unintentionally form you into something or somebody. And if you do nothing, you will be unintentionally spiritually formed. And that's the problem. That's the reality that we live in today. That's where so many people are at. They are at where they are at because they really have gotten there unintentionally. So how do you counter that? How do you form this likeness of Jesus? Instead of allowing your life experiences to shape you, how do you shape yourself into the likeness of Jesus? Romans 12:2, we just read it. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, metamorphosis, by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. It's good, pleasing, and it's perfect. The key to transformation, you got to hear me on this, is to not stop something or start doing something else. The key to transformation is to think differently. To renew your mind, the Bible says. Many of us are where we are at today because we just allowed life and circumstances to get us there. And we have not thought differently. More importantly, you haven't thought about God. Our minds are not on God and the things of God. They're on something else. Colossians 3:2 says this, set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. So how do we change the way that we think? Well, I'm going to take these four things we just went through that have been unintentionally shaping us, and we're going to counter that. We're going to combat it. We're going to become more intentional. Here's the first way right here. To counter the stories we talked about, we're going to intentionally get into God's Word. We must set our minds on the teachings of our rabbi, on the teachings of Jesus. You see, you can't just automatically out of nowhere stop believing the stories you have heard. You actually have to replace the stories you have heard with something stronger, something more true. That's why Scripture matters. This is the absolute truth. We do not believe in relative truth because your truth then becomes your truth and my truth becomes my truth. We believe in one truth, the absolute truth. It's not just information, it's formation. Reading your Bible is not just to get information in you. Oh, I didn't know that happened. That's cool. I should go visit that one day. No, it's forming you into somebody, into the likeness of Jesus. The book of Hebrews says it this way, I have hidden your word in my heart, Hebrews 4:12, that I might not sin against you. Meaning if the Word of God is not in you, you're going to sin all the time. Remember, you put the Word of God in you. You know, when we read about the disciples in Scripture, Acts 2:42 says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. See, God's Word, it shapes what we believe to be true. God's Word takes our reality and reshapes it. God's Word transforms your current reality. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayer. You see, they weren't just casual consumer Christians. That's the problem with the Big C Church today. We have too many casual consumer Christians. Hey, Pastor, that message was okay. That worship song actually sucked, you know? That tall guy on the left, he needs to start singing, stop singing. You know, they missed a note there. You're consumers. We're not here to entertain. We're here to preach the Word of God. They were devoted. Man, if there's a heart for this series, I want to form some devoted disciples. These followers of Jesus, they took the words of Jesus, and it actually was life to them. They actually did what it said. They lived it out. I really don't understand the point of being a Christian and not reading your Bible. There's no point. There's absolutely no point. These people made it their mission to live by the words of Jesus. So here's the question. Do you treat the words of Jesus like inspiring quotes or divine commands? Is the Bible just good advice for self-improvement? Like something Tony Robbins might say? Or are they the words and life of Jesus calling you into a life to be set apart? Are you devoted to the Word of God? Or is the Word of God just a good book that you have at your home that collects dust on the bookshelf? Our heart as a team is to get you into the Word of God. I don't know if I have a greater aim. I want to get you in the Word of God. I want you to be consumed with the Word of God. So we do some things throughout the year to help you, and this is one of them. Today we're releasing the volume 2 of our devotionals. So every year, if you're new to Zayo, every year in January, we do 21 days of prayer and fasting. And then in August, we do 21 days of prayer. August 3rd starts our 21 days of prayer. It's a way to spiritually just kind of jumpstart yourself into the new school year, into the fall. And in conjunction with 21 days of prayer, we'll be doing 21 days of prayer here every day. We're changing it from the morning to noon, just so you know. So this year it'll be fun that you can kind of come on your lunch break. We're going to change it to noon. We'll tell you more about that in the weeks to come. But in conjunction with that, we have these devotionals. Now, these devotionals actually have, Pastor Mark and I have been talking about this. Pastor Mark, senior pastor for many years. I've senior pastor for many years. This has changed the way that I read my Bible. These devotionals that we have produced. It gives you 2 scriptures, it gives you the Lord's Prayer, and you just journal some things that kind of guide you through it. It's not long, it's just that every day. And it's a day process. It tells you the day, and you just kind of work your way through it. These are available to you today, volume 2. This will take you to the end of the year. And the goal as we do this is it'll take a couple years. We'll read through the whole Bible together. But we're doing it together in these devotionals. I encourage you to check that out, get a devotional. We're going to start this together on August 3rd, okay? But we must counter the stories that have been forming us spiritually and intentionally get into the Word of God. Here's the second way that we need to counter the habits that we make. Intentionally get into practice. Intentionally get into practice. See, following Jesus isn't just about believing. It's also about becoming. And becoming takes practice. It's a process. To be a disciple of Jesus requires a partnership with Jesus. Like, there are things that Jesus will do in this process, but there are things that you need to do as well. And this would be one of them right here. And Jesus, even his famous Sermon on the Mount, he bookends this concept of practice. Matthew 7:24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, there it is right there. You hear the Word of God, you put it into practice. It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. You see, it's not about trying really hard. It's about training really hard. It's about practice. You see, spiritual formation is not microwaved, it's marinated. You can't just set a timer and say, I want spiritual formation now. No, it's a process. Yeah. It takes work. It's not microwaved. It's marinated. Something marinated is a lot better than something that's microwaved. To become a disciple, it will take a lifetime of practice. Think about it. I can't drink Gatorade and suddenly be like Mike. They're liars. I can't read one Bible verse and suddenly love my enemies. These teachings of Jesus, to love your enemies, to not worry, to forgive, to pray, to serve, it takes a lifetime of practice. So I'm here to encourage you. You might read your Bible and go, man, I can't do that. I still have an enemy. That person who I'm in a lawsuit with, I hate them. I want them to die. I want to murder them. I know you might struggle, but I'm here to encourage you. You might still struggle with anger and unforgiveness. You may cuss still. You may want to yell at your kids or hurt them at times. You may struggle with anxiety or a habit that you can't break. Welcome to practice. We practice through spiritual disciplines. We talked about this last week. We practice through prayer, fasting, scripture reading, Sabbath, solitude, service. But these aren't religious checklists. You don't just check the box and say you did it. No, they're training grounds for Christ-likeness. If you want to counter your habits that you have formed and have been unintentionally formed in your life, you need to begin some new ones. And over time, the old ones will fade away. They'll stop. Here's the third one. Relationships. How do we counter relationships that have been unintentionally formed? We intentionally get into community. Now, I look at that statement and say, aren't we saying the same thing? We're not. Relationships are different than community. Relationships are usually self-selected. You choose them based upon affinity, shared interest, stages of life, personalities. Community is chosen based upon a shared devotion to Jesus. It's the difference between going out on a Friday night with your neighbor and going out on a Tuesday night and having a life group. There's a big difference between the two. One is about connection. The other one is about transformation. I mean, you can have good friends who care about you, but that doesn't mean that your friends are helping you to become like Jesus. I love that passage, Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. That is some serious vernacular. That's more than hanging out. Like, if you and your friends had a motto, like, is that the vision of your hangout nights, your girls' night out? Is that the vision to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship? Like, that's intentional formation through community. Why is this so important? Because you become like the people you surround yourself with. And life change doesn't happen in isolation. Life change happens in the context of community. So if you want your life to be changed, you got to get into a faith-based community. That's why we have life tribes here at Zayo. Not just to make friends, but to practice the way of Jesus together. We have two seasons every year that we have a three-month semester of small groups. We do one in the fall, one in the spring. And our fall, what is that? A fall semester. Welcome to Zayo.
Not today.
My gosh. I thought I was about to be attacked. Which reminds me, we are so much closer to the barn. And had a great meeting this week. I can't wait to give you some updates here soon, but groups. Okay. Life tribes. Next month we're going to talk about our groups. So we have our fall semester of groups is September, October, November, a three-month semester. We'll be talking about it next month. We'll be telling you what groups we have, and we'll also be asking if you would like to lead a group. We need people to lead groups, and if you've been in a group, you know the transformation power it has. We need you to lead a group. Maybe you can even host a group. We need some help because our church is growing so fast, and we need more groups, and we're excited about that, but you've got to get into a group. If you've only been in relationships, I'm encouraging you this semester to try something different. Try community. Because if you want to counter the relationships that you have that are not benefiting you. They're not leading you to Jesus. Get into a life tribe. So here's the final one right here. To counter environment, all those take place in environment. What do we need to do? We need to be intentionally guided by the Holy Spirit. We talked about this last week, the Holy Spirit. We even said this, the first and primary goal of apprenticeship or discipleship is to Jesus is learning to live in a constant state of awareness of and connection to the Holy Spirit. But again, I want to encourage you, this doesn't happen overnight. You know, one of the names of the Holy Spirit is friend. And like any friend, relationship has to be built over time. To be spiritually formed by the Holy Spirit, you must intentionally tune your ear and tune your heart to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a daily practice. And without this awareness, you will be unintentionally shaped by your environment. Why? Because the noise of life is going to come in and demand your attention. But I love what the Bible says, that the voice of God is a whisper. You kind of have to stop. Because the world is busy, 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 go, go, go. Let's get into sports. School's coming around. Like, get a new car, we got a new house. Let's see the boat. Let's get on a lake. Let's do. And God's a small whisper. Like, you got to stop. Lean in. What'd you say? I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to stop. Three kids, busy life, it's hard to stop. James 1, 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And for all of us, we're like, yay. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. There's a point to your pain. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know, it's no surprise that life throws obstacles at us. But the question is, how do you respond when life throws obstacles at you? Because trials aren't detours, they're environments for formation. But here's the danger and the trap that we fall into when life gets hard. We often run to escapism. I don't want to deal with that, I'm going to go doom scroll. I don't really want to face my problems, I'm going to go drink because of my problems. Escapism. We numb the pain with food, alcohol, unhealthy habits. We binge watch, we overwork. Culture teaches us to distract ourselves, but the Spirit teaches us to transform ourselves. So how do we intentionally be transformed? Through teaching, practice, community, and through the Holy Spirit. That's a disciple right there. I'm going to close with this idea. Is transformation really possible? Like, true, deep, soul, life-changing transformation, is that possible for you? Like the type of change that you always wanted but never knew how to achieve. I'm a pastor. I do this professionally for a living. And I don't think I've met anybody who doesn't struggle with something, influenced by something, going through a tragedy of some sort. Why stay where you are? How's that going for you? The type of change that you always wanted, but you were never able to achieve, this transformation process. Like, what if you've walked through a divorce? What if you're carrying unforgiveness or bitterness? What if you were abused as a child? You have some deep wounds. What if you feel like a failure? You've missed your chance. Can you change? And the answer is yes. But it's not inevitable. Change will not come unintentionally. It only comes intentionally. So if your plan is just to keep going and hopefully it'll get better and I'm going to try harder, I'm going to do better, I'm going to be a good person, man, you're going to wake up in 20 years and you're going to be the same person that you've always been. Because you didn't change anything. Transformation takes intentionality. If you want your life to change, things are going to have to change. It takes a lifetime of practicing the way of Jesus to be a devoted disciple of Jesus. So I want to close with this question. Just close with this idea, this thought for you. I hope you can think about this for yourself. Who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? Because your habits, your environment, the relationships are leading you somewhere. Where is it leading you to? Like 20 years from now, what do you look like? What does it look like for you 20 years from now? If you keep at your current pace, your current patterns, your current relationships, your current habits, your current direction, what does 20 years from now look like for you? I had to ask myself that same question as a young pastor. I found myself consistently reacting to the demands of ministry, chasing the urgent, meeting every need I could meet, pleasing every person, trying to be Jesus. And I realized this pace of life is not the life that I want for myself. And I made a decision. I will not live my life for what is good. I will live my life for God. I'm going to do what He says, not what other people say. And I refuse. I came up with this early on, around this time. I came up with this phrase. I've just adapted it for my life. I always say it, but I refuse to sacrifice my spiritual life or my family on the altar of ministry. I have the greatest joy of being the pastor of this church, but if you call me at 10 p.m., I'm not going to answer. Because I'm watching Survivor with my family. Or is it cake? Because if I took every call and took every meeting, trying to be Jesus to everybody at that pace, man, I do not like what my life looks like or what my family looks like in 20 years. I will not be standing here. So I decided I'm going to live my life today based upon the person I want to be in 20 years. Make the decision today for who you want to be in the future. And if you're stuck today, you're stuck in a relationship, you're stuck in your faith, you're stuck with God, don't stay stuck. Don't stay stuck. And just to encourage you, you may not be where you want to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you are moving forward. You are progressing in your faith. I don't know about you guys, but I want to be like Jesus. I encourage you to join me in that process. I want to pray for you right where you're at. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me through this message? Let him speak to you. See what he says. Jesus, we want to be like you. We want to be true disciples of the King of Kings, our rabbi, our teacher. We want to do what you say to do. We want to read the scriptures and say, man, that actually applies to me. I need to do this. God, I pray that you would transform our hearts. May there be a metamorphosis that takes place inside of each person. Lord, we want to be like you, true followers of Jesus. And I want to close praying for those who have never committed to being a disciple, never given their life and devotion to Jesus. Preach about being a devoted disciple, but maybe you've never devoted yourself. Maybe you've been a Christian for many years and you're like, I just don't think like the Christian that I've been is what he's actually talking about today. Like I did the right thing when I could. I prayed when I needed it. I voted Republican. I did what I thought I was supposed to do as a Christian, but I don't know, like this seems a lot different than the Christianity that I was raised in. Man, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, if you've never pledged your devotion to Jesus, pledged your allegiance. We pledge the allegiance to the flag, right? We pledge allegiance to Jesus. I follow you and I follow you alone. If you've never prayed that prayer, I want to lead you in a prayer right now. God, just say this. Pray this to God. God, today I give you my allegiance. I pledge my life to you. I want to be a devoted disciple to you, Jesus, from this day forward. Today I give you my heart. I give you my life. This is the life I want. And I'll live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Quick clap and celebrate those who prayed.